It is also every woman's story. I hope that it is a story of bravery, because I have certainly had to be courageous, strong, and sometimes, in the very bottom of my heart, a very frightened, alone, and sometimes very childlike. Mine is a story of faith, a woman's faith in her God, and also the feminine principle, the goddess. I came here, I know, to herald a first wave of the Gnostic Way, which is the most ancient quest of man searching for truth and his and her own spirituality. Where Novus Spiritus, my spiritual church, goes from here is only known to God. As for me, I will always be helping people, always guiding as God sees fit, and I hope with knowledge, a sense of humor, and compassion. If I must do my work from the back of a goat cart, I will. My contract with God will be fulfilled. As you listen to this audiobook, you will hear a story that's filled with humor. Bear with me in this odyssey. Bear with me in this journey. Understand and try to see beyond just a spoken word to the heart of the woman, the heart of the person, who possibly is too naive, too understanding, and too giving, but certainly has a lot of guts. For all of you who toil in little dark corners, remember me sometimes, this girl from Missouri. I did not necessarily make good, but I certainly gave it my all. I think that God simply wants us to give it our all, give it our best shot. So this is a story of friendship. It's also a love story. It's a story about loyalty, pain, heartache, and challenges. I think it's everyone's story. Would I have changed any of it? I had to think hard on that. But I think not. Someone told me that I was a karmic catharsis for everyone. I guess that seems to fit pretty well. I know that we learn by experiencing and watching how a life unfolds. I hope you enjoy mine and can learn faster than I did. God love you. I do. Chapter 1, People Are Talking. I remember this so well. I was so scared. I was so frightened that I remember sitting there with my nails dug in to my hands and looking for the exit sign and thinking to myself, what would happen if I just got up and bolted? The capacity audience is restless, eager. This isn't just any TV show. These people seek more than entertainment. They want answers. The excitement is really geared up as the lights brighten and the theme music goes on. The studio audience stomps and cheers without prompting as an ambulant host, Ross McGowan, announces, "Today we have with us the internationally known psychic, our own Sylvia Brown." I was on People Are Talking for about 10 years, every 2 months. It's kind of a marvelous thing and sort of a sweet thing that people start doing this ownership. And that's where it comes from, our own Sylvia Brown. The rotating stage moves on cue, stopping with a sudden jerk to reveal me. A Rubenesque woman with warm brown eyes. There is a burst of spontaneous applause. In the trade, I've been told that I'm known as good TV because the ratings invariably zoom when I appear. Now that I've gotten more TV savvy, they call me just the rating booster. Ann Fraser, the short, attractive, blonde co-host, steps forward, scanning the excited audience. She asks, "Is there anyone here who doesn't believe in psychics?" A tall, dark-haired man raises his hand defiantly. I say, "There's some kind of dairy farm that you'll be going into. You have two sons, but are raising two other boys as well." My smile broadens at the familiar look of astonishment. Then I add, "You should check the transmission on your car and see a doctor about the left knee." The man stares at me, surprise and confusion apparent on his face. And so it goes for voyeurs at home, as well as for the studio audience. People wave wildly for the microphone, eager to discuss their tangled love lives, their rare diseases, their finances, their neurotic families. Even skeptics, or I should say skeptics prior to this, seem eager to ask me questions. The audience oohs and ahs as the TV show continues. But this is easy stuff. The information I divulge can be verified instantly. The real work comes when I go into the future, precognitively, and talk about things that are beyond present awareness. The subjects shake their heads doubtfully. Me, another baby, I'll be 45 in December, no way. Or be verified instantly. The real work comes when I go into the future, precognitively, and talk about things that are beyond present awareness. The subjects shake their heads doubtfully. Me, another baby, I'll be 45 in December, no way. Or, you're going to move to Minnesota, you've got to be kidding. It doesn't matter how good the job was, the verification will come later. Sometimes much later. I always seem to receive a call and be told, remember me, I was the one who said, dot, 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 well, I just wanted to tell you, dot, 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 that I did have it happen. I did have a baby boy when I was 46, and I did move to Minnesota. The job was just too good to pass up. The local CBS TV show is aptly named People Are Talking. People are talking about me. But more precisely, they come to talk about themselves, which is only right. Their hopes, their fears, sometimes even their secrets. It's not new. The question asked of me, a modern seer, are identical to those placed before the Delphic oracles thousands of years ago. Only the delivery system has changed. My manner seems to be frequently flipped, funny, often suggestive of a stand-up comic. But underlying it, trust me when I tell you, is all the warmth and compassion that draws skeptics and believers alike. I always speak in specifics and shoot from the hip. I don't like any of that psychic, esoteric jargon. Now looking about the studio, I spot a woman sitting on the aisle near the back. You're very concerned, aren't you, about something that may even approach blackmail? Don't pay it. None of what happens is as it appears to you now. He's playing on your fears. Call him on it, he'll drop the whole business. The woman's face brightens. Her relief is obvious. Oh, thank you, she murmurs. I don't have to validate this for the viewing audience. It's me now talking to that woman one-on-one. She doesn't have to verify me. It's enough that she knows that I know. That I can tell her, truly, that everything is going to be all right. These are the happy, easy answers. The more traumatic ones are harder to deal with, especially on television. Often the messages I deliver are carefully couched. I see two pregnancies this year. I tell a young woman who hopes to conceive a child, don't feel bad about the first. The second will be a girl, born early next spring. The word miscarriage isn't used. I won't use it. The woman understands. But other times, I am more direct. The new red sports car you're so crazy about, get rid of it right away. I warn a glitzy brunette. Why? She looks at me with big batting eyes. Because you're going to crash if you don't get rid of it. Eventually, there are questions about me. It sounds like you believe in reincarnation, a man ventures. I don't believe, I answer, I know. God's an equal opportunity employer. Do you think he'd give us just one chance to be stupid, dumb, ugly, fat, thin, whatever we're going to be? How long have you felt this way? He asks. Always, I guess. When I was 3, I'd insist that my father taste my food first. They'd tell me. I'd sit very patiently watching him chew, waiting, I guess, for him to drop dead. When nothing happened, I'd dive in and eat. I've always had quite an appetite, as people who see me can realize. It must have been hard for me to wait, but I did. Apparently, I had a strong memory of being poisoned in a past life and wasn't about to make that mistake again. Maybe I sensed even then that I had a lot to accomplish this time around. Most children are born with past life recall. I really believe this with all my heart, but they can't pass on the information available to them for lack of vocabulary. Impatient or skeptical parents not meaning to compound the problem. So unfortunately, much valuable information is lost forever because as we grow older, we tend to forget. What's it like to be a psychic? A young man calls from the back of the studio. What's it like not to be a psychic? I ask, shrugging. What about your spirit guide? Someone asks. The questioner is a scholarly-looking woman in a far corner. What about Francine? Even the regulars lean forward expectantly. For them, it's a familiar but still fascinating story. I was 7 when Francine first appeared to me, I explain. I can't remember when I didn't hear messages that others couldn't. But they were always far off in the background, always like a soft whisper that could be ignored. Francine was something else entirely. One night, I was in my bedroom, playing with a flashlight, because I've always had this problem with insomnia, when suddenly I saw this Indian. Now I look back and say that I realize that she almost had an Aztec flavoring to her. Beautiful, tall, with a black braid. Don't be afraid, Sylvia, she said, I come from God. Don't be afraid. She was as close as real as I look at Anne Fraser. I insist, pointing the woman sitting beside me. And there she was, standing right in front of the middle of my bedroom. I jumped up and ran out screaming. Fortunately, there really is such a thing as fortune or chance. My psychic grandmother was staying with us. She was very ho-hum about it all. And that was very reassuring to me. She explained that we all have spirit guides who are assigned to us to be helpers. The only difference was that she and I could see ours, and everybody in my genetic strain of the family could hear theirs. My guide is a South American Indian whose name is really Aina. That was a little too bizarre for a 7-year-old, I remember. I liked the name Francine, so that's what I rechristened my new friend. I think I couldn't say the name Aina that well, so I think I had a friend by the name of Francine, so I tacked that onto it. She didn't mind. In fact, she seemed to know exactly the sort of things that would appeal to me. I lost my fear of her completely when she taught me how to play What Are They Saying Downstairs? You can imagine the stir that game created, but it was a nice stir. Francine, like Grandma, was and is the quintessence of psychic etiquette. In the beginning, she seemed very old to me. She was about 30. And there she remains. As I get older, she stays younger, which is enough to tick anybody off. Ross McGowan asks a question for the audience. Don't you sometimes feel that what you tell people robs them of their free will, he inquires. I shake my head. Absolutely not. If I get it, you're supposed to know it. I believe that what I receive comes from God, just as Francine told me long ago. I laugh good-naturedly. I hate to think it was coming from me. But I also know that you cannot control anyone who wants to do something. You can't interfere with their chart. You can help them, you can aid them, but you can't control them. How many times of those of you out there listening to me would like to say, God, I'd give anything to be able to control my son from not drinking, my husband from not gambling, but you can't. You can try to help them. You can be the step up to the plate person, but you can't help them if they don't want to. I believe that specifics are essential. That's what mediumship is all about. I wouldn't be a professional if I told people all that Mickey Mouse stuff about going from darkness into light. Anybody can say something like that. And what good does that do? You can't help someone without giving specific information. Francine's comes through when I'm in the trance state and tell people about their soul work and their mission in life and their themes and their patterns and their options. I stay with my feet fully planted on this earth. I stay with the now and the gritty, lousy, sometimes soap opera of life. I am able to tune into the blueprint within each of my clients. You know what I've thought recently? I began to go over this again. It's almost like you hand me your paper, your chart. You are farsighted, I'm nearsighted. And you hand me your page to read, and I read it to you. That's about the best way I can describe what a blueprint is about. Although I prefer to do one-on-one predictions, I acquired a national reputation for general interest forecasts.